You're listening to Unraveling. This podcast brings together a collection of raw, authentic conversations about the messy truth of life. I'm your host, Lauren Barber, and I have created Unraveling to explore both my own and others' inspiring journeys to reconnect back to themselves. Unraveling is an expression of both the highs and the lows of everyday life and covers a medley of topics inspired by my own adventures, from magical mysticism, mental health and menstruation, to self-expression, co-creation, and personal evolution through movement, meditation and intuitive practices that help us remember and reclaim our true essence. Thank you for tuning in and joining me on this beautiful process of unraveling. Now, let's head to the show. Hi everyone, welcome to the 26th episode of Unraveling, and this is also the final episode of 2018 and of series one. I cannot believe that I have recorded a whole year or series worth of podcast episodes. It's been a pretty big adventure. I just want to say now, before I kind of tell you a bit more about today's show, how grateful and appreciative I am of every single person who has listened to this show, whether you've listened to one episode or all the episodes. It's been such an incredible journey, and I'm really excited about 2019 and the evolution of the podcast. So I just, really want to say a big thank you to everybody for listening and supporting me and giving me the confidence to keep going with this and the courage to even launch it in the first place. So yeah, I am really, really grateful for all of you listening. So today's episode is a bit different to the normal episode. I'm chatting to the beautiful Vix from New Age Hipster. Vix is a good friend of mine. She's also a spiritual business mentor amongst other, and a published author, I have to say, amongst many other amazing skill sets that she has. But what we are doing today is actually a reflection of 2018. So we are kind of interviewing each other for this episode, and we're going deep into what's gone on this year, how to reflect over the year, and also looking at ahead to 2019 and what kind of intuitively we're feeling is coming in. And it'll be really interesting to listen back to this episode probably next year and see what actually has come up. So it's a quite a long one, so you can listen to it in chunks, and you can, you know, however best to digest the information. And I have also created a little worksheet for you to download, which is in the show notes, which you can use, which has just got some questions and things that you can use to reflect on your own. And I'd really urge you, if you have someone available, to do it in a pair or in a group, because by working with others in this, it's really fun to reflect back to each other what's going on and to remind each other of things that have happened this year. So you can download that in the show notes, and I'm going to stop rambling now and just head straight over to the show.
Hi Vix, nice to have you on Unraveling again, second time in a year.
Yay! I'm so honoured.
It's an honour to have you here. So this episode is a bit different to the normal Unraveling pattern. That's not even the right word, but that's the word that came. Because we're going to do a bit of a kind of mutual interview to reflect over 2018 and to see what's coming up for 2019, which I'm so excited about. It's going to be basically like mine and Vix's conversations when we hang out in real life, but just recorded for everyone. So, and hopefully you can, as a listener, can use some of the questions we're asking each other to perhaps reflect on your own 2018. And there will be a little workbook that goes with this, with some questions and things like that, that you can kind of journal over yourself. So you don't have to write down the questions, but feel free to download that workbook from the show notes, and you can dive in and reflect on your own 2018. So we are going to pull a card for each other to start this conversation off, to just as a kind of, I don't know, maybe a sort of wrap up of 2018, a card that maybe sums up our year. I don't know. We'll see if the tower comes up. So Vic, over to you. Do you want to pull a card for me first and then I'll do one for you?
Okay, I'm going to pull you a card from the Moonchild Tarot.
Excited. Which
I know you got your eyes on it.
I'm manifesting that one into my life.
Okay, so we're just pulling a card for, like, what was the energy of this year for you?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. There's nothing coming.
it's a blank year. Uh-oh, what does that mean?
I don't feel like this was a blank year for you.
No, I think it's probably the opposite. Maybe it needs the whole deck.
Oh. This is a bit it's a bit full on.
Oh, good.
I pulled two.
Okay.
And I got Queen of Cups and King of Cups.
Oh, I like that. Divine feminine, divine masculine.
Yeah.
That has certainly been a huge theme for me.
Yeah.
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 Wow. Okay.
I love it.
Yeah.
It feels, there's just like this huge feeling of, even though maybe not everything was totally perfect for you this year, which it never is for any of us. but there's just this really beautiful feeling of alignment, like everything being in alignment and you being exactly where you need to be.
I've got goosebumps. I'm not going to cry.
I feel like crying. I always cry in other people's readings.
Wow. That's, just, that does just bring everything. What a perfect... I don't even have any words. Thank you for pulling those. And that's just confirmed that I definitely need that deck.
Yes. Yes, you do.
100%. Mm. Oh, thank you. That's a really powerful, powerful message. And I'm sure we'll dive into that more with the questions as we go through our conversation today. Okay, so I'm going to use the Work Your Light Oracle deck for you from Rebecca Campbell, which has been, I think, mine and yours and probably a lot of people's deck of the year. because it just, yeah, it's just an incredible deck.
It's a good one.
Okay. Okay, so I have pulled you the card of protection. Call back your power, cut the cord, soul retrieval.
Ooh.
How does that feel for 2018?
It's an interesting one. It's probably not the first thing that I would have thought of when I look back on the year, but there's definitely been some, I've definitely been working with my energy in a lot of different ways, and boundaries is like a constant theme for me. But yeah, interesting. I might need to have a bit of a meditate on that one, I think.
The words that stand out for me from this card for you is the calling back your power. Like, I feel like it's been a year where you have really stepped up in so many ways.
Have I?
Yeah, 100%. Oh my God, you launched a book.
I don't know if I feel like that.
You wrote and published a book. Oh my God. And I feel like, because that's been something that you've wanted to do for so long, and it's been, and it was like you really like rose into your power, and I've just seen that over the year, and I think it's been like really beautiful and inspiring to be.
Thank you. I think that, like, having these conversations is so powerful, because sometimes you don't sometimes you don't really know like what you've done or what you've achieved. Like sometimes you do need someone outside of you to kind of remind you of what you actually did this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is why I think it's important to spend some time reflecting. And why it's really lovely to do it in a conversation rather than just on your own, because it's it's easy to kind of, you know, write in a journal and, you know, go down that route and just kind of be on your own and meditate it on your own. But to do it in person with people that know you and you trust is quite a, it's a different experience. So yeah, I'm honored that we're doing this.
Me too. This is awesome.
Okay. Well, we can like wrap up now, right? that's the year done. Okay. So, let's start with the first question. And I'm going to ask you this question and then you can ask me. And I don't know the answers to these questions until they come up. So, yeah, and they might cross over. I don't know. They might sort of come into each other, but we'll see. So the first question for you, Vix, is what were your intentions for 2018 and how do you feel about them now?
Yeah, so about that, I actually, like, when you, because we've been emailing kind of back and forward with some ideas about questions, and then when you sent me, like, the finalized questions, I sort of sat down and I did write a few things down, and I thought, like I said before we started this conversation, like, I thought about the questions, but I don't necessarily have all the answers yet, so I'm like you, I'm just seeing what comes through in the moment. But I did go back and have a look at this spreadsheet that I made at the start of the year that had like all of my goals for the year written down. And I think I achieved one of them.
What was it?
Getting the book finished.
Well, it's quite a big one.
It's a pretty big goal, but there are a lot of things on there that were like, much smaller, more manageable things that I could have very easily done, but I didn't. And so that was interesting. So I feel like I'm kind of, the first reaction to that, of course, is like, oh my goodness, I totally failed at 2018. I didn't do all of these things that I said I wanted to do. And so what I'm really trying to do is not go into that place, but instead kind of get curious about, well, why didn't I do those things, rather than beating myself up for not doing more. So I had a lot of intentions and yeah, in terms of like how I feel about them, I'm curious. I'm getting curious about them, and I'm curious about why I didn't take action towards more of the things that were on that list.
I love the curiosity thing. I think it takes it's switching from that judgmental kind of critic that we have so often show up for ourselves, and actually just turning it on its head and being like, okay, so this is interesting to see and to experience. And you know, the thing is, at the beginning of the year we have, yeah, we can have all these intentions and these goals and these visions, but life happens, and it throws us curveballs, and sometimes those intentions aren't always coming from a really aligned place either, because they may be coming from a, oh my God, I've got to do these things because that's what I'm supposed to do according to whatever.
Exactly. Like, well, I should do this and I should create this and I should implement this, rather than these are the things that really feel like they're lighting me up and I really want to do these things. Yeah.
Wow.
So Lauren, what about you? What were your intentions for 2018 and how do you feel about them now?
Oh, it's a really funny one, because I found it really hard to set any intentions and goals and visions for this year, actually. And I felt all winter kind of pressure to, oh my God, I need to put these, I need to set my intentions, I need to have some goals, I need to have some visions, and they just weren't coming to me this year. They kind of, I really, really retreated last winter and really felt that the year never started, if that makes sense. Like, I never felt that new year rebirth feeling, and I think it's because this year has been such, it's had to be such an introverted, like, inward journey, and actually it was not about setting external goals, it wasn't about achieving certain things, it was about unraveling actually. Mm-hmm. And having said that, now I think back, you know, like, I wanted to launch the podcast, I wanted to do more training, I wanted to go on adventures and things like that, and I wanted to continue my own self-development. But yeah, I feel like not having really strict, rigid kind of external intentions actually served me really well this year, because it just gave me permission to just honor the natural processes that have occurred without this pressure of, well, I've got to get these things done as well. So yeah, it's been a really interesting one, but I feel differently now to what I did a year ago, in terms of I'm actually excited about the year ahead, whereas last year I just didn't get that kind of new year feeling, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I really like what you were saying about I didn't have any intention, because there's so much, like, we focus so much on, like, let's set goals, and then we have to work out how to achieve those goals. And one thing that I really like to do when I'm setting goals is I set the goals, but I set them with the intention of, like, well, this is what I want to do in this moment, and if that changes, then I'm going to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important.
Yeah, I think it's being one of the things I've learned this year has definitely been about detaching to outcomes.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that.
Yeah. I'm not saying I've nailed it, but it's just being open to the outcome not being what you expect it to be, and being okay with that. And I think just trusting implicitly that whatever is happening is unfolding as it should be. As it's supposed to, and it doesn't always look like what, in fact, it very rarely looks like what you thought it was going to look like.
Does it ever?
Very, very rarely. Well, the thing is, I think it does, but only when you're in such a controlling mind. Like, I would say when I was, you know, a few years ago, when I was really controlling of every area of my life, like totally non-trusting, it did actually look like the outcomes I expected, but that wasn't aligned with me, if that makes sense. So I could control the outcomes and could fixate on them, and they'd happen, and then I'd be like, oh. But it really wasn't coming from a aligned place.
Yeah. Yeah. You always hear stories about people who, like, do these visualizations in their like manifesting practice, and then they're like, and one day I woke up and everything looked exactly like it did in my meditation. I'm like, what? That
doesn't help me. Yeah. No, I haven't had that one yet.
Yeah. But I always feel like my guides would just be like, you don't really want, that's not really what you want, Bix.
Yeah.
That's not really going to be in alignment with your best and highest good. It's a nice idea, but maybe we'll take you somewhere else instead.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So next question is, and I feel like we've got this as what was your biggest achievement of 2018, but I feel like they're maybe is like a couple of things that might be, you know, it'd be worth going into a couple of achievements, because I think there's probably more than one. Yes, there is.
Oh, it's my turn. What was my biggest achievement? Well, my biggest achievement has to be that I finished and self-published my novel.
Woo! Yay!
I'd been working on that novel for 10 years. So to actually finish it and publish it and have it available for people to buy is like a really big deal. And that's all. That's it.
Well, and I would just like to chime in and say, I'm in the last like couple of chapters of the book. and I don't want it to end. So can you hurry up with the sequel? I need to know what's going to happen.
I'm working on it. So I just did, well, I guess this is an achievement as well. I just did, last month I did NaNoWriMo, which for anybody who doesn't know, it's National Novel Writing Month. And it's like this online community with support and everything that helps you write 50,000 words in a month. Which is a lot of words. Like, you can get first, like, I can do this. This is so easy. And then in the first week, you're like doing 2,000 words every day and you're like, I'm amazing. And then as it gets further and further into the month, you're just like, I have nothing left to give. So I did that last month, which was definitely an achievement for this year. And I got like the rough draft, very, very rough draft done of the second book. So I guess that is like a pretty big achievement, actually. Now I'm thinking about it.
Yes. Okay, yeah, I definitely, like, that A, excites me because I can't wait to know what happens, but also a huge achievement, and I really want to celebrate you for that.
Yay, woo! Thank you. I accept.
Any others?
You know what, I think there are like lots of little things. I feel like there was a lot of stuff this year happening for me kind of under the surface that I didn't even know was happening.
Mm-hmm.
That's the feeling that, yeah. That's the feeling I have for this year. I feel like there was a lot of, obviously writing, finishing the book and everything was huge, but I feel like this year was a lot of like, I'm just going about my day. I'm just getting the things done that need to be done. I'm serving my community. I'm doing readings and sessions with people. Like, I'm just kind of like going through the motions. I'm meditating. I'm doing all of the stuff. And I'm kind of realizing now that even though on a surface level, this doesn't look like the most exciting year in my life, I feel really different, like energetically, than I did at the start. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's amazing. I definitely hear you on that. I think I almost feel it's like an energetic cleanse, I guess, in some way. Like, it's kind of washed away so much gunk.
Yeah.
That was just holding me back and really sort of just making things sticky. And I think I probably could have cleared that a bit sooner, but this year has, you know, because I was dragging my feet, this year has kicked my butt and cleared it.
I feel that too. I feel like that was a big, massive clearing and a lot of, like awakening, not necessarily in the sense of like, oh my goodness, I had this massive spiritual awakening and now I'm a completely different person, but like these gentle, slow shifts that I think we're all feeling those this year.
Yeah. The reawakening.
Every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every minute of every day.
Multiple times throughout the day.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you? What was your biggest achievement or achievements?
Well, it's actually, I think this year hasn't really been so much about business achievements at all for me. Mm-hmm. I think, well, I mean, it has, it's all reflected in my business, but there's been a lot of personal achievements, and the things that stand out for me are doing the Three Peaks Challenge in July, which was far tougher emotionally than it was physically, but it was like that climb was like a catalyst for me of change, and not all the most easy change to navigate, but it really did kind of it stirred something up, and I knew it was going to be transformative, which is why I was kind of like, there was real mixed emotions leading up to it. It was sort of, I wanted to do it, but I kind of was like, oh god. And yeah, so that I think is a huge achievement. And then the other one, I think the other main one that stands out for me, well, the big one is just the trust muscle being practiced and my, and realizing how resilient I can be. And actually just allowing my heart chakra to burst right open and allowing it to stay open rather than protecting it. And closing it back up, which, if I'm honest, until this year, it's been very much protected. And this year it has cracked right open. So that is an achievement in itself in some ways. But the other thing that sort of stands out as a milestone, I guess, in my year was going to Canada a couple of months ago and doing my Yoga Nidra teacher training. And the reason that was such an achievement was for me was because I really was taking a leap of faith. I didn't have a plan. I didn't know why I was being guided to go there, but I just knew that I needed to be there. And I showed up and I embraced it. And it was a really powerful, powerful week of my life and something I will never forget. And it has, yeah, it's already propelled me into a lot of change, a lot of transformation. And yeah, it's, but again, it's kind of more on an internal level. Like I've guided a couple of yoga nidras since then. It's not like it's had this big external impact in my work or anything like that yet. But from a personal, emotional, energetic mindset point of view, it was, yeah, huge, really huge.
Amazing. And that's where it all starts though, right?
Yeah.
I'm really excited to see like what happens to you next year after this year of like doing so much of the internal stuff.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things, isn't it, that a few years ago, if you told me I would have to do so much internal work to get to the point where I'm at now, I would have been like, oh, I don't want to do that. You know, like, like, no, I just want to skip to the good bit, skip to the kind of easy bits. But, you know, it's been probably the hardest year of my life in many reasons. But it's also been the most transformative. So I am really grateful for that. And I'm grateful for the work I've done leading up to this year because it's prepared me. I'm grateful for the tools that I have kind of collected over the past 5 or 6 years of doing, you know, of this kind of little chapter of my life, because it's prepared me for this year and it's meant that I've been able to embrace all of it, the shit and the sparkle. Oh, and glitter makeup, of course.
Oh, yeah. Of course. I can't wait to get glittered up.
Yeah, I'm excited to share that with you. We're going to sparkle. Okay, so the next question. Ooh, what was your biggest failure of 2018 and what lessons came from that?
So I really struggled with reading this. I really struggled with reading this question because I thought like about the word failure. And I sort of was just like sitting with that. I don't necessarily have an answer to this question yet, but I was just sitting with like the word failure and thinking about like, well, what really is a failure? And I don't think I've had any. I've had a lot of lessons and I've had a lot of things that haven't worked out in the way that I've wanted them to, which helped me to learn and grow. So yeah, I think in terms of like, you know, what didn't work out, I think there are some things that were on that list of things I want to do this year at the start of this year. There are some things that were on that list that were like, well, I didn't do that. That's fine. That's no problem. And there are other things on that list where I know that I didn't do it because I didn't the priority. And that's a bit shitty. And so in terms of like failing in terms of things not working out, like there's definitely some lessons there in that I need to make other things a priority. Cause I'm really good at making work a priority. I'm really good at like making sure I get everything done that needs to be done for my business, but I'm not always that good at making sure that I get other things done, especially things that are not as related to like the day-to-day running of my business. And I do really feel like this year I have definitely like eased off the gas pedal this year and I've given myself a lot more space and time just to do like human things. And I have been really a lot more conscious about like how much I've been hustling and I've been kind of like pulling back from that. But now I feel like I need to bring a little bit of that back in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's been needed. It's been really needed because, well, you know, like for a while there, I was working like most nights and not like the whole weekend, but I would work like a day on the weekend and be working evenings. And that was okay when I was setting up my business. And it was needed when I was setting up my business, when I had a regular job and I had to hustle. Otherwise, I never would have been able to get where I am. But then you get to the point where, okay, now I've left my full-time job and I'm still doing, I'm still doing a full-time job and a part-time job. So yeah, it was very needed that I sort of took a bit of a step back this year in how much energy I was putting out and how much I was creating and how much I was doing. But now I feel like I'm ready. I'm ready to do stuff again.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, and it's really interesting you saying about kind of the word failure, because it's sort of why I put it in there, because it is such a, it's quite a triggering word.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because it is, I think, you know, for me, it's more about, like, as you say, like, I actually don't feel like anything is a failure this year, as you said, similar to you. But I guess maybe where I was coming from it is like having the courage to take a risk or dare to fail at something, mm-hmm. in order to kind of, you know, grow or transform or new, you know, welcome in something new. So yeah, failure is probably the wrong word. But yeah, as you said, it's very similar for me in that lessons is just always a lesson. And I think it's not having, it's seeing every single challenge, even if it doesn't go as you expected, as a gift in some shape or form. So I think probably, you know, if I was to think about, you know, something that didn't go to plan, probably it would be the way my business has grown, because I haven't had the capacity and energy to evolve it in the way I would have liked to. I had a lot of kind of little things I wanted to do, launch my Oracle deck and do more, you know, creative projects and write more and do more workshops and all of these things. And yeah, and I didn't do them because I had to fiercely protect my own energy. And I suppose in one, not that it's a failure at all, but giving up teaching for a while was probably one of those moments that I could have seen as a failure, but I saw it as something that I really needed to do, because I want to sustain my energy, and I just knew I needed to put a pause on the teaching, because personally, going through a lot of stuff, I needed to just call back my power and just invest all of that time into me rather than into kind of sharing and being too external. So from an outsider's point of view, maybe that would look like a failure that I wasn't teaching anymore, but actually, yeah, it was a huge lesson.
It's interesting how we're both, we've both kind of had a really similar experience this year with our businesses, where we've both had to kind of like pull back.
Mm.
And yeah, I feel like when I look at you, I feel like, you know, yeah, I can see that it was really important that you did that. But when I look at myself, I'm like, oh, I could have done more stuff and I could have done this and I could have done this other thing. But actually, I think a big part of it for me was really similar. It was like I had been putting out so much energy for so many people and doing so much free stuff and creating free content and just creating and trying to like serve everybody like so hard, that I sort of was starting to lose myself in that. So I think it was really important to have this year where I actually focused a bit more on giving myself some time and energy than what can I give? How much can I give today?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It's been like a year of winter. Not from a seasonal mm-hmm. point of view, but from an energy point of view for yeah. me, it's been, you know, a lot of laying down, a lot of rest, a lot of not doing things, Like that's probably been, it's like the not doing rather than the doing. And I know that that's going to be, I'm going to be rewarded. We're both going to be rewarded for that. But by, you know, having the energy when it's needed to really propel into the next kind of chapter, whenever that does begin.
Yeah.
whether it's January the 1st or March or whatever. I actually feel like it's going to be winter solstice. I feel like winter solstice is a really pivotal moment.
I can't wait. I can't wait for the solstice is here.
Is that like, because it gets lighter?
Yes. I feel like everything's going to shift for me when I know it's getting lighter again.
Yeah, I do agree. I do agree a little bit with that. But we have to be in the dark right now, I guess.
Yeah. I just wanted to say as well on that, that just some stuff I was sort of thinking about, sort of also downloading while you were talking, just about how I feel like the, like being able to take a step back and being able to say no to things and being able to know, like, the best way I can be of service right now is to take a step back and not show up on social media today. It feels like that is actually like, that's the high priestess stuff.
Yeah.
Like that's when you can get into that energy of like, I know that the best thing I can do sometimes is to not help somebody else so that in 3 days from now, I can help more people like in a much better way than if I try to push through and I try to be of service.
Absolutely.
So that's exciting.
Yeah, I love that, because that also kind of really resonates with my teaching, is that I know that, you know, I've needed to take this break from it because it means that I can come back to it whenever that may be and in whatever format that looks like, and really, really show up for it. And it would have been really easy for me to continue and keep going and keep showing up, but it didn't feel aligned at the time. And I just knew I had to practice what I preach and, you know, and take the time for me. So I think I love that saying no to external things is, you know, as if saying yes to something means your own well-being could suffer, then it's not okay.
Amen to that.
Oh, okay. Next question. What has been the biggest bittersweet gift of 2018 for you?
Oh, so this one was tough. I just sent you an email, which you know, but the people listening to this don't know. I sent an email to you just before we got on here, and I was like, this is the only question that I'm struggling with, like I can't think of anything. And then you reminded me of something that happened, and you're like, what about this thing that happened, what about this shit? Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Okay, so one thing that happened this year, and I don't think I've actually spoken about this really at all to anybody kind of outside my main kind of friend group, but I nearly got a publishing contract to write a spiritual book this year. And the whole process felt very easy. It felt very aligned. I just got, you know, I got the email in my inbox that said, hey, we're looking for people to write spiritual books. And I was like, this is it. Like, this is my big break. It's happening. And went through the process, went to meetings, some stuff, sent it through. They were really excited. They said that they wanted to sign me. And then 6 weeks later, it was just not happening. Like, it was like, yeah, well, we can't do that now. And that whole process was really, it was really interesting, because at the start of the process, I felt like this is it, like this is happening. Because I'd been asking for signs of like, how can I best serve? And what is the best way for me to serve and do my work in this lifetime? So I've been asking for all of this stuff. And then this kind of fell into my lap. Like, it literally fell into my lap. I didn't do anything to attract this thing. And then when it all fell through, I didn't really actually feel that sad. Like, I kind of felt a little bit relieved which was interesting. So I was like, why am I not feeling like more upset about this thing? And I just, you know, I really felt like maybe this is something that I'm going to do at some point, but it didn't feel like the right time. And I knew that I had to, before I could start another book, I had to finish the first book, which is Class of 1983, my fiction novel, which is so different to the spiritual work that I do now. But like I said, I've been writing this book for 10 years. This book I started this book way before I ever even thought about doing spiritual work for a job. So that was kind of the moment where I thought, actually, like, I just really need to do this. Like, I need to finish this thing that I've started and I need to put it out into the world. And I've been having those thoughts and those feelings about that book for years and years and years. And I was like, fuck it. Like, I just need to do it. So it was sort of like bittersweet in the sense that it was an opportunity that kind of almost came to be, but it was kind of a kick in the butt for me to do the things that I kept saying that I wanted to do and I hadn't done yet. So yeah, I think that's pretty bittersweet.
Yeah.
But it all feels like, it all feels right. Like, it feels like that's what needed to happen.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah, it's really amazing for you to share about the, you know, the pitfalls as well as, stuff. Like, it's, but I think it's just a real reminder that there is like a diamond in the mud kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Because what I could have done is like had that opportunity and then had it fall apart and I could have been like, why?
Yeah.
Like, why, God, it's mine. Why tempt me with this thing and then take it away? Like, why are you doing this to me? But, you know, I chose to look at it differently and I chose to look at it as like, well, okay, this isn't going ahead. What am I supposed to be doing instead? Hello, Vix, you know that book that you've been talking about for like 10 years? Can you just bloody finish it, please? All right, okay.
And it all happened very quickly from that, you know, from when you, the book deal didn't happen to actually the birth of Class of 1983.
Yeah. Cause I was just like, it just shifted my mindset and I was just like, I'm just going to do it. And then once I made that decision, it was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it now. I went on the calendar, I looked at the calendar and I was like, just sort of picked a date. And I was like, that's the day it's coming out. I better get to work.
Love it.
Yeah. So what about you, Lauren? What's your bittersweet of 2018?
There's been quite a few bittersweet gifts of 2018. And I think the fact that I can even see some of these things as bittersweet, as, you know, like, yes, not so great, but also really amazing gifts in them is in itself something I'm really proud of. I think the main thing for me this year has been the letting go of the way certain relationships look to me, the way they look on the surface, and by letting go of the way I felt like they were supposed to look, it completely shifted the way I've seen myself and the way I've looked at other people, and to experience the grief of losing those relationships in their current format, I think grief is probably been my bittersweet gift for this year. Because it has cracked me open, and to allow myself to feel grief, which I haven't ever done before because I've been so terrified of it, that has taught me, it led me to go to Canada. It led me to enroll on a new certification that I'm doing for next year. It's led me back to connecting with like my people that really make me feel amazing. It's led me back to growing my confidence in every area of my life. It's lightened a load that I didn't even know I was carrying. So I think, yeah, so grieving for the relationships that were, if that makes sense, and kind of healing myself and those relationships in that process. It all sounds very cryptic, I know. but I think, you know, hopefully it makes sense. But yeah, I think grief has been my biggest bittersweet gift of this year.
That's a big one.
Yeah, and it's something I really want to explore. I don't mean I want to explore it, you know, in some ways, but you know, I want to talk about it more because it's something that we can't avoid. And I spent so long being so scared of it and trying to control like every situation so that I didn't feel it. But the truth is, I think there is so much magic in grief, in allowing yourself to feel. I've spent 10, 15, 20 years maybe just feeling very numb and not allowing myself to feel. And unfortunately, we can't feel all the joy and the fun and the excitement and the good times if we don't allow in the darker, not so comfortable emotions. So by allowing myself to feel grief and sadness and loss and sorrow, it's allowed me to feel joy and pleasure and fun and
I love that so much because we live in such a culture of, like, you know, have your three days off and then get back to work.
Yeah,
like, or, you know, if it's grieving something that isn't, like, that isn't a death, if you're grieving the loss of a relationship or all sorts of other things, we're not given any time for that. It's like, you just got to keep showing up. And, you know, like, I mean, I know when I was working at a normal job, not that this isn't normal, but you know, like a regular job, and like other staff members would go into the toilet at lunchtime and cry. And you'd be like, what's going on? And then they talk about all the stuff that's happening. And then, okay, the bell rings and now you have to go and put on your happy face and get on with the rest of the day. Yeah.
Yeah. It's something that's really shied away from, particularly like in society. I think it's, you know, you don't show these things, you don't show these emotions, it's a sign of weakness, and you know, you just have to like get your shit together. And there is a time and a place where, you know, like you do have to kind of crack on with things, but that doesn't mean you have to numb out completely. You know, you don't have to. I think that, like, I really understood the word, the kind of experience of waves of grief, because, or waves of sadness, because it does hit you like a tidal wave. And the first time I really felt that, like, uncontrollable grief this year, I didn't know what was happening. Like, I genuinely, I let it pass through my body for the first time and I was terrified. I didn't know, you know, but now each time that kind of feeling comes up, I know it will pass. I know it will pass. It's not me forever, but there is no time limit on it. You know, I can't sit there and say, well, in 5 minutes time this is going to be over, or in 3 months time, or, you know, you can't put a time limit on it. And and I think probably it will be there forever in some shape or form. And I think it's just being okay with those feelings and not being scared of them and actually seeing them just as any other emotion. Like laughter, it comes in waves. You know, you don't laugh all the time. When you feel like that real joy, you know, like it's there and you enjoy it. But because sadness and grief and loss is not comfortable, we tend to run away from it. But by sitting with it, I have realized how strong I am and how much I can like how resilient I can be. And that's given me a huge amount of confidence in every area of my life. So yeah, it's a biggie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On to the next one. Question, that is.
Yeah.
Okay, so what was your word of the year for 2018? How has it guided you? And do you have one for 2019?
So my word for 2018 was peace. Because 2017 for me was not very peaceful. And when I was thinking about my intentions for the year, I just really wanted to, I wanted things to feel a lot more peaceful. And I was talking to someone online the other day, and someone was asking, I don't think it was you, someone else was asking about like, what was your word for 2018? And did you really feel it? And I said like, oh, it was peace, but I think it was a pretty big, I think it was a pretty big word to like put in a whole year. But the more I've kind of reflected on it, the more I've felt like actually this was a pretty peaceful year. Like that doesn't mean that there weren't challenges and tough stuff and hard lessons to learn and all of the normal things, but I feel like I moved through this year with more peace in my heart than I've been able to do before.
Hmm.
So that feels like a big win.
Yeah.
Yay.
Hasn't always been easy, but I've sort of been trying to carry that around, you know, like when we set these intentions to have these words, it's not like we have these words and then we expect, I don't know, maybe some people do this, but it's not like we then expect like the whole universe to suddenly like shift so that everything that we come into contact with resonates with that word. Like obviously the rest of the universe didn't know, like, well, the rest of this planet didn't know that I was trying to like be in the energy of peace. Like people still threw stuff at me to deal with. But it's like the decision I made and how I was going to deal with those things.
Yeah.
So yeah, like even though I didn't get everything on my to-do list done, I really did feel just much more grounded in that, which was really beautiful. And my word for this year, which I didn't have until I read your email this morning and I thought about it, is expansion.
Ooh, I love that.
Which was so scary when I thought of it. I was like, no, not that one, Mix. Like, pick something a bit easier. No, we're not going to do that this year. Maybe we could just have like love or like joy or something. yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yep. What about you?
So my word of the year for 2018 was grace.
It's kind of like mine.
Yeah, it is kind of like that. And I think it was, it has served me really well, actually, that word, because I wanted to be able to meet challenges with grace. I wanted to be able to move through my life with grace. And I feel like I have done that, and I have really embodied that, and I've had to kind of accept gracefully things that have come up and that they haven't looked the way that I wanted them to look. I'll be honest, and there have been moments where I haven't accepted them so gracefully. I've kicked and screamed and shouted and asked why. Mm-hmm. But yeah, generally just moving with grace. And I think with grace has come with like listening in a little bit more. So I've listened to those whispers and those nudges a lot for this year. And I don't know, I kind of don't want this to be my word, but it keeps coming up, and it's really, yeah, it's, I keep coming, the word for 2019 that keeps coming up is strength.
Mm.
And I kind of want it to be expansion or something. Yeah. It sounds more exciting.
You can have my own.
But yeah, I can't seem to avoid that word, just keeps coming up, strength. Mm. And yeah, I don't know where that will take me, but yeah, I want expansion. I was like, are you sure it's strength? Are you sure? You know, could I not have something more exciting? No, strength. Okay, right, fine. Grace feels so much more elegant. Strength is a bit like, grr. But yeah, perhaps I think physically and emotionally and mentally, strength is what I'm cultivating. Or I feel like I've already started that process, actually. I think strength is already kind of coming in. But I've just started training, doing strength training again, and I love it. And I think feeling like my body physically feeling strong feels really good. And it has a knock-on effect to my emotional and sort of mental strength as well. So yeah, so looks like strength is my word.
I guess so. I think that's a great word.
Yeah. You know, you always want what someone else has got. Yeah. I actually am just looking like at the piece of paper in front of my vision board for this year, which is above my desk, and the word is strong. There's the word strong is right in my face. So I guess it's there.
There you go.
Okay. So what was your biggest leap of faith in 2018?
My biggest leap of faith was definitely putting my novel out into the world. I had so much fear around doing that. Like, part of the reason that that I have been sitting on this book for 10 years is because I was just really worried that no one would like it. Which I think is always the way that we feel as creative people. There's very often that voice of like, what if no one resonates with this post on Instagram? What if no one likes it? I'll just delete it. Like, if nobody likes it in the first hour, or what if I put this video up and nobody likes it? Or what if I write this blog post and nobody reads it? Like, there's all these like fears that we have. But writing the book was like a really big deal. And because it was so different from my work, like if I had written a spiritual book, it feels like that would have been so much easier because everybody already read my blog, everybody like already knows me, they know that what they're going to get, it's not going to be like this big surprise. But writing a novel, it's like I've never written a novel before. Nobody knows what to expect with that. Nobody knows if I can write or not. I didn't know if I could write or not. I just knew that I liked doing it. And so that day when it came to the day where I had to click publish on Amazon and like put the book out there, I was absolutely like shitting myself. I was like, what are people like, is anybody going to even read this book to start with? Because a lot of indie authors, like no one ever reads their books. So that's like, you know, if like your mates read it and that's it. And what if no one likes it? What if like these random people off the internet read my book and they hate it and they leave me terrible reviews and whatever, but I just did it anyway.
Yeah.
I was like, I just got to the point where it's like, I don't care. Like if that's what happens, then that's what needs to happen so that I can move on to the next thing. But then the really exciting thing was when people started reading it and they said that they actually really liked it. I was like, oh my goodness, I can write books. This is cool. People actually like this.
It's such a good book. I love it. I literally love it. I think what I was going to ask you, like how you kind of moved through that process, like when you have got that fear, because I think a lot of people, and me included, have these fears. And I was going to say, you know, like, what's your process? And then you said it and you just did it. And
just did it. I just did it anyway.
That's exactly how I feel. You know, like if when people ask like, how did you make that decision? I'm like, I was terrified, but I just did it anyway. Mm. Feel the fear and do it anyway. I know that's a very kind of masculine, aggressive quote, yeah. But it's kind of true.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I think like, one thing that I do when I'm really feeling like scared to do stuff or put things out there is I just kind of ask myself, like, what's the worst thing that can happen? And I actually, and like, I know a lot of spiritual leaders and like spiritual teachers and whatever will not recommend this as a method because you kind of have to go to a dark place, but it's like really sit there and visualize like, what is the worst thing that can happen if I do this? What's the worst thing I can do if I publish this book and everyone hates it? The worst thing that will happen is I'll get terrible reviews. People will email me and say, oh my God, like, I can't believe that you wrote that book and put it out there. It's so embarrassing. What are you doing with your life? The worst thing that will happen is I probably just take it down and try to write a better one. Like, it's not going to be the end of the world. Like, it's not going to, like, have, I mean, obviously it will be emotionally difficult if that happened, but when you kind of go to those places and you're like, what is the worst thing that can happen? You usually realize that, like, no one's going to die. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really not going to matter. And in like 6 months, nobody's even going to remember that you put that book up there.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I don't have anything to lose. So I just did it. But I do that with like everything, you know, whenever I'm creating a course or putting up a blog post or a video or whatever, like, I always have that thought of, well, what if no one likes it? Well, if no one likes it, I'll take it down, or I'll leave it up anyway because I really resonate with the message and I think it's important, or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. So what was your biggest leap of faith?
I think there's been a lot.
I was going to say, like, you've had so many.
That's another theme of this year, leaps of faith. I think the one that's coming up for me, and it's kind of only just begun really, is I've invested the most amount of money I ever have invested into a certification for 2019. That's already started. Well, it starts at the beginning of the year. And it's not something I would have ever expected to be doing. So I've enrolled in Layla Martin's sex, love and relationship coaching course.
Yeah. Yeah, girl.
So I will be going on that journey, which is scary and exciting. But yeah, it's a massive leap of faith because it's the most amount of money I've ever spent on anything like this. But when I was reading the syllabus and it came up, it kind of came up back in the summer when I was at a point where I just need, you know, like I just was taking leaps of faith all over the place. And my whole body said yes to this. It was like, it wasn't just a whisper. It was a shout, like, yes, yes, hell yes. So that's quite a big leap of faith and I'm starting it, and it's an area of work which I'm very intrigued about for myself and my own personal development. But I think it's something I've realized this year that part of my kind of role or purpose or whatever you want to call it is to talk about the things that people find difficult to talk about, which is, sometimes I'm like, why me? Why couldn't I just talk about something like really simple? But no, apparently my role is to have the courage to share things that are really important, but that people are scared to talk about. So sex and love and relationships, and all the things that are associated with that are apparently on my radar. So yeah, next year we'll see more of that, I'm sure.
Yay, that's so exciting. I can so see you doing that.
Yeah.
Because it's so in alignment already with so many of the things that you do and the things that you talk about.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that I don't know where it's going to take me in any shape or form. I'm not even thinking about where it's going to take me, to be perfectly honest. I just know that I have to do it, and I have to take that leap of faith and trust that whatever the reason is that I'm being called to do it is for my highest good, and yeah, I'm just going for it.
And that's really exciting.
It is exciting, and this is the first time I've shared it like out loud to anybody that's not a friend. See, that's the thing though, isn't it, you know, like talking about these things, about sex and love, and you know, it's the same with money and menstruation and all of these things. We have to work through our own stuff to even get to the point of being able to share about it. And that's what I'm excited about, because I know from my own, like the work I've done on myself already in these areas, I know that it's totally shifted my life. So I feel like I'm excited to see where that takes me from a personal point of view, but also from where it takes my work.
Me too. Exciting times.
Yeah.
So maybe like your word is a little bit of expansion as well.
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to take a bit of expansion. Yeah. Strength and expansion.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are you most grateful for from 2018? We've kind of already sort of covered this, but let's pick three things. Three gratitude.
Okay, three things I'm grateful for. There's so many. I don't want to leave anyone out. I'm really grateful for my mom came over in the summer and we did a road trip. We went down to Cornwall and we went to like all of the old ancestral haunts. So yeah, we went to like some of the churches where like my great, great, great grandmother was baptized and stuff like that. And that was really, a really amazing trip that we did together. So I'm really grateful for that time that we had. I'm also grateful for the 4 weeks that I got to spend in Australia this year with the sunshine and the sea. It was so nice. I'm trying to hold on to that energy and like I just close my eyes and I'm there. So I'm really grateful for that time, but I'm also really grateful that I have a job that means that I can go and see my family and that I can, because I was still working while I was there. I wasn't just like, everyone's like, I hope you enjoyed your holiday. I'm like, holiday? Like, okay. It wasn't really a holiday, but it was amazing. Like, I'm so grateful that I have a life in which I can do that. Like, that's just means so much to me. And I'm so grateful for all of my friends and my fiance and everybody who's supported me through all of my stuff this year.
Amazing.
Yeah. What are your three?
Oh yeah, I've now been saying three things and now
just pick three.
How do I pick three? Okay, I am grateful to my body because it's been through a lot. and it's still functioning and supporting me every single day. And in fact, it's getting stronger and I feel like it's healing more and more and more. And, you know, I've had a year now of semi-regular menstrual cycle.
Yay!
Woo! So that is something I'm so grateful for. Yeah. For my body. I've started training again, which I am really enjoying. I walked did the three peaks, climbed three mountains in 3 days and my body was okay. You know, like I'm really grateful for my body. She's pretty awesome, I have to say. And there's a few years, you know, up until the last couple of years, I would not have been able to say that. So yes, grateful for my body. I'm grateful for the experiences this year that have shown me just how supported I am. And that's support from, you know, a greater good, from the universe, from sort of a source beyond me, but also for the support that I have from friends and family and the love that I have allowed in from them, because, you know, I just realize how important it is to have those people in my life and how certain people have shown up for me in ways I couldn't have imagined. And that's just, yeah, really, really, yeah. Family and friends is definitely something I'm very grateful for. And third thing, I want to make it a goodie. oh, there's just so many things. I am grateful for... You know what? I'm grateful for my dog because she has, without fail, every single day, she's there for me, showing up. And she, on the days where it feels like life is too much, she makes me get out into nature. So nature's another thing I'm grateful for, but she's probably the motivation to get me there. So once I'm in nature, then it's amazing. But yeah, I just have to look at her face and I like literally like melt, and she is kind of my rock. She is yeah, I'm very grateful for her. And she's like my little like spirit animal guide. She's definitely a guide of mine. She teaches me a lot about patience and fun. And yeah, so yeah, there's loads of other things, but those three are what came up.
Yeah, I love pickle.
No, oh, I love pickle too. You need to have our own Instagram account.
Oh, yes. Yeah, in your spare time.
Yeah, in that spare
time. You don't have enough to do.
Okay, so what have you let go of in 2018 and what has that created space for?
I feel like this has been a year where I've been sort of slowly dredging up lots of different little things and letting them go like all year long. And I think some of the biggest things that I've been letting go of are old stories about myself. So that's been good. Hard, but yeah. Good. It's hard to, I think the hard part for me isn't the letting go. The hard part is like realizing, like really noticing and accepting like, oh yeah, this is something I'm carrying around. This is something I believe about myself. And then once I do that, like it's fairly easy to say, okay, well, I don't want to do that anymore. So I'm going to let that go. So yeah, like I've had some beliefs around, I think, you know, publishing the book was a huge thing because I've had a lot of beliefs about, you know, I'm not a business person. I'm no good at marketing. I'm no good at business. I'm just like good with a deck of cards. I'm not driven. I'm not ambitious. Like sort of all of these stories that I've been holding since I was probably, in high school, maybe even from when I was a kid. I was always a really creative kid. So people didn't really expect, not only people didn't expect a lot from me, but nobody expected me to like run my own business or publish my own book or like do all of these things that I'm doing. So I'm rewriting a lot of the stories that I've been carrying around for a long time. So that's kind of the main thing. And I feel like that's been throughout this year. I really feel like every time I've kind of noticed something and been like, oh, like where did that come from? That's not who I really am or who I want to be moving forward, and let it go. It's been like this gradual kind of unraveling, if you will, of just like, you know, all of this stuff that I just don't need to carry around anymore. And it feels nice.
Sounds good.
Yeah. What about you? What have you been letting go of?
Very similar to you, actually. A lot of limiting beliefs that have been holding me back that I, and this came from my, I mean, this has been work that's been ongoing, but really came to a head when I did my yoga nidra training, because we worked very, closely with Sankalpa, this personal resolve and using that sort of deeper, like connecting to that deeper truth and actually using the practice and using awareness to work through some of those limiting beliefs. And the main belief for me that I am letting go of is that I'm not worthy and I'm not deserving of living the life that I want to live. And that is already, you know, just by working with that and being aware of that being a story that I've played over and over and over again for pretty much my whole life, and accepting it as something that at one point it served me, you know, in a split second in time it served me, but it's not something I need to live my life by. And just the awareness has made me kind of look back at things in my life and realize why certain things have perhaps happened in the way they have. And know that is just a story and it's not fact, it's not truth. So it's just a story that's on repeat, and now I can work towards shifting that story into the fact that I am deserving and I am worthy. And by doing that, it's already opened me up to seeing what's possible and really truly believing that I am good enough to do this, to do whatever I want, and to live a life that is full of love, that is full of joy, that is truly, you know, what a life I want to live. So yeah, that the belief work has been really powerful, and I know that it will keep going and going and going, that work, because it is an unraveling.
Yeah, it ends. Yep.
Yeah, but yeah, that's definitely very similar to you. It's that letting go of the old stories that are not useful to me anymore.
Yeah, I love what you said though about how they did serve you at one point. I think that's really important, that when we're doing this work, we remember that, because it's really easy to just be like, I'm clearing everything, I'm letting go of everything, like, this isn't true, this is bad, this is negative, I'm just letting it go. But actually, the stories that we've been holding on to have served us in some way, even if it's just to show us, like, you don't have to believe this anymore about yourself, or to show us our beliefs about ourselves. But yeah,
well, you know, our innate nature is to, you know, to be safe, and to and if something has threatened that, and we've, you know, it's a pretty incredible mechanism that we have to protect us from something that doesn't make us feel safe. And a lot of it for me, you know, is this feeling of not belonging. And that's, and I, you know, more work I've done on it, the more I sort of understand that not belonging is like death to a human, you know, instinctively, like, we are community, you know, like we are designed to live in community and to support each other, and we're not designed to be in solitude all the time. And I think by realizing that actually this fear of not belonging and not being good enough or not being accepted by people is actually protecting me. But I don't need it to protect me in that way anymore. So I think, yeah, just understanding the way our subconscious works and the way these things work has been just, it's just scratching the surface, and I can't wait to dive deeper in it. But I think that's, yeah, big letting go.
Yeah, because like the work isn't just like do the letting go meditation.
Yeah.
I wish it was that easy. Like, you, like, and I've done this before, I've spent so much time cord cutting on something without ever really like, okay, maybe you should spend some time really thinking about why this thing is present in your life and what it's trying to teach you and what it's trying to tell you. And actually, like, looking at the root of all of these things instead of just doing the cord cutting like on the surface all the time, but the root's still in there. So it's going to keep growing back until you like take it out by the root.
Absolutely. So it's like anything, it's like a physical ailment or illness, you know, like if you can treat it with a drug or a plaster or whatever, you can put something on the top of it and it might appear to have healed. Mm-hmm. But until you actually get deep into the root cause of it, then it's, you know, it's going to keep coming back. And I think that's where knowing, like, doing the work on those subconscious beliefs, like, that is going to the root. And it's not comfortable, and it might mean that you need support in working through some of those things, because it quite possibly will trigger old wounds that haven't been healed, and they might be hard and upsetting to face. But it's the only way to actually, like, that is the work. It's not all about, you know, oracle cards and all of these things, which are lovely, they're great, but they're not addressing the root cause of things. So it's going deep, very deep. Okay, what are your now we're going on to something a bit lighter. Well, I think
good. Yeah.
What are your three favorite resources from 2018?
Okay, one thing that I've been in love with this year is Gaia TV.
Awesome.
I'm like, you've heard me talk about this so many times. Like, every time we sit down for a tea, I'm like, have you got Gaia TV yet? And I'll watch this. There is so much good stuff on there. I have been doing lots of yoga on there. I have been doing Kundalini yoga with Guru Jagat on there, which has been amazing. I've been watching this incredible series about the flower of life and sacred geometry, and that's been just like blowing my crown chakra wide open, which is so exciting. So that's probably been like one of those resources that I have consistently like been using like all year. And it's one of the very few like subscription services for like yoga videos and stuff that I haven't just quit after a couple of months because I'm not using it. So that's been amazing. In terms of decks, all of them, the Work Your Light Oracle cards that we already talked about, like that, they've been amazing. And I've also been using the Star Child and the Moon Child. The Star Child has probably been on heavy rotation with my own personal readings this year a lot. Okay, and one other thing, Chesapeake Shores. I have been so in love with that show. It's I think it's made by the Hallmark Channel, so it's pretty like they deal with some like kind of heavy going issues at times, but it's very easy to watch. There's no like cliffhangers. It's just like a really good show for anybody who is a highly sensitive and empath and you just want to watch something that's not gonna like, you know, send you somewhere challenging. So yeah, Chesapeake Shores, those are my three. Well, that was four because I mentioned a few decks, but yeah, what are yours?
So definitely the Work Your Light Oracle deck as well. It's like so good. For working with clients, for working with myself, it's just incredible. It just always gives what I need. And I took it with me to Canada actually, and we would sit around the table in the mornings pulling the cards from the deck, and it brought the whole like soul family together. So it was like such a lovely, incredible, just a really powerful deck. Secondly, I'm gonna say Netflix. For two reasons.
Just everything.
Two shows that I have.
Is it Chesapeake Shores?
No.
You watched it?
No, I haven't yet. I'm on others. Okay. So Heartland was like the first one, but I've completely finished all of the series, isn't that? Which is crazy. But I love it. And also Jane the Virgin, because that's just, yeah, amazing. Amazing. So trashy. So... like escapism and Heartland because of the horses and, you know, it's like there's always a drama, but everything's always okay. I just need that time out, and I'm some days it's like back to back. So it's a really good way of doing that. And the third resource, which I have been using for a few years, but I couldn't be without, and actually it's led me to some pretty amazing things, is Insight Timer. The meditation app, which I always bang on about. So if people haven't already got it downloaded on their phone, then get it. And one of the main reasons for that is because it's actually how I discovered Tanis, who was my yoga nidra teacher, because I did some guided yoga nidras with her on Insight Timer. And then I kind of followed the breadcrumbs to find her. So Insight Timer, because there's so many meditations, and also lovely, they have talks on there, and they have lovely beautiful sound meditation. So it's all free as well, so it's an incredible resource.
I had it on my old phone, and I only ever really used it for like the for timing my meditations and having the chimes. I didn't really do anything else with it, but I'm just downloading it now on my new phone. Just download that now. Are you talking about it?
Excellent. Yep. Well,
hey, got it.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You're welcome. And one of my things for 2019 is to actually record and some of my own meditations and put them onto Insight Timer.
Yes.
Just throwing that out there. So, you know, has to love happen that. Now. Okay. So, leading on, what are you dreaming about in 2019?
What am I dreaming about?
Maybe one word. Or a few, just to kind of like sum up, because there's going to be so many things, but no.
Okay, that's really hard. you go first.
That is such deflection.
I just need a second.
Okay, so I am dreaming in 2019 about adventure. And I don't know what that looks like yet, but I just feel like I just am opening up and feeling like adventure, and that's adventure in my business, adventure in traveling, adventure in my personal development, adventure in where I walk, where I live, like all of these things. Yeah, adventure. That's what I'm dreaming of.
I love that. Can I just say this? Can I say that too?
If that's what you truly are dreaming.
I think mine is very much related to my word of the year, and it's about expansion. And I'm dreaming of just taking the next step with so many things that I am feeling called to take the next step with that I haven't been doing yet.
Amazing. I love that. Yeah. What are you most excited about in 2019? It's kind of the same thing.
I think what I'm really excited about is writing more. Writing my second novel. I feel like, just why don't I just do that and just publish that next year? Like, that doesn't need to be another 10 years before that comes out. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the changes that I'm going to be making to my business at some point soon. Hopefully, when that's sort of settled down a little bit more, and I know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing with that. And yeah, I think mostly I'm excited about helping other people to kind of get excited about their lives.
That's really lovely.
Yeah. Like spreading the expansion, spreading the joy, spreading the love. Yeah,
sounds good. So for me, what am I most excited about in 2019? I travel, like going to some new places. I'm running a retreat in Austria in June. I'm really excited about holding space there in the mountains and being with whoever comes. and sharing that with them. And yeah, traveling to different places. And exploring and seeing the world. I'm excited about how good I feel about my business and about the growth there, because I feel like it's going to be a really pivotal and expansive year. I just generally, my whole feeling for 2019 is excitement, actually. Excited about creating a new space for myself. And for my work, maybe. Excited about creating my Oracle deck. I'm going to say that now, my deck for 2018, and lots of things with glitter, eco glitter.
That sounds good.
Yeah, so I'm just generally feeling excited about it. That's like a whole, the whole year. So what do you feel intuitively is going to come in for 2019?
For me or for everyone?
What? I don't know. What is coming in?
So I feel like this is a bit intense, but a year where we either step up or we step off, if that makes sense. It's like there's people that, I feel like people are either going to step up and start to do that they feel called to do, or people are going to be like, oh, that's too hard for me. I'm going to go down this other path. And that's okay. I think that's totally okay. But I think a lot of us, and this is for me as well, I think a lot of us are kind of being asked now. It's like, well, do you want to play? Like we've been sitting on the bench, kind of like, you know, I'm sitting here ready. And they're like, well, are you going to play with the team? Oh yeah. Okay. Maybe in the next quarter, maybe like the next time. Yeah, I'm ready, but just like, you know, not quite ready. And now they're just saying like, are you going to play? Do you want to be in the team or not? So that's the kind of, that's a bit like, that feels a bit, it feels a bit intense, but I feel like there's so much happening and there's so much shifting. And I really feel like anyone who kind of resonates as a light worker, or you feel like you're here to help in some way, it's like, well, if you feel like you're here to help, then you got to start doing the work. Otherwise, step aside and let someone else do it.
Yeah,
I'm really harsh. Does that
sound harsh? I think it's the truth. You know, like sometimes we have to be faced with the truth, and I think that's really. I definitely resonate with that. I feel like I'm at that point where I could step off. I probably couldn't, to be honest. I feel like I.
Yeah, you're too.
Yeah, I'm too far down the path. But I can see why the appeal is there sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's okay. And I think it's okay. And I think it seems like there's a lot of, so much like outspiriting and all of that stuff that's out there. Like, that's just never really resonated with me. And it's like, if you, like, for example, if you're somebody who's been dabbling with the idea of starting a spiritual business, or not even a spiritual business, like your own business in some way or whatever, and it's never really kind of happened, and you kind of want to do it, but you're not really sure, or you're like, you're sort of thinking, oh, maybe I just get a normal job because that'll be easier. Then maybe just get a normal job because that'll be easier. And maybe not forever. Like, maybe it's not like get off the team forever. Maybe it's like get off the team for a year and then come back and see where you're at. Yeah. Like, we don't all, like, I don't know. Like, it just, it's kind of hard to explain, but it's like, we're not all here for the same reason. We don't all have to do the same thing. Like, just because you follow people online who are yoga teachers and you love what they're doing and you think, I want to be a yoga teacher because this feels like so in alignment and I love all of this stuff, doesn't mean you have to be a yoga teacher forever, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. What about, I feel like that was just really harsh. Like, get off the team. Play or get off the team. That's your guidance for this year.
I'll take that.
Okay.
I'm playing.
I'm sure that all of the people who are listening to this, I'm sure that anybody who's listened to us rambling about our year that was and the year ahead, I'm sure that anybody who's got to this point listening to this conversation, you're getting on the team.
Yeah, you're on the team.
Like, that's, yeah, you're on the team and now you've got to play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think? What are you feeling?
I feel like there's a lot of craziness about the beginning of the year. And I feel like it's not until February, late February, that is the time for us to actually start to rise again.
That too, yes.
Yeah. I feel like this is we are here, we're in winter. Sorry, Vix is just putting some kind of drops in her mouth. I can see on the video. You guys can't see that.
I sort of forgot that you were you were watching me.
Just got distracted there.
Sorry. That's just the flower essence.
You need it, do you?
Yeah. After that being
big download.
After that being speech about getting off the team. Yep.
I feel like for 2019, the words that are coming through to me are things are not as they seem. Mm. And that there are different ways to do things to the ways that we have been doing them up to now. And I think that people are starting to realize that in business and in life, and that there are other ways, there are other routes to take, there are other paths, and I think that just it's going to be a year of changing perspective, I think, and just being open to things not being as black and white as they maybe appear at the first look, but also just being open to trying a different way. So whether that's maybe things in business that haven't really been working and just totally shaking it up, perhaps it's actually learning something that you weren't expecting to learn, that, you know, following the curiosities, like those little whispers, and being guided by those rather than being too strict with yourself. And I also feel very much that the last few years, and I think you'll probably agree, has been a lot about like the divine feminine rising, a huge amount about women's work, and that is so important and so powerful. But I really, really feel called myself, and I think a lot of people do, to support the divine masculine as well, and to open up conversations for men and the masculine energy to really be seen for the amazing strength, and perhaps that's why my word is strength, for the unison of the two and how beautiful that can be. Like, something that this year has really taught me is that relationships, the way that a lot of relationships are, is so unhealthy and harmful to each other, and there has to be a new shift in the way relationships, with not just in terms of romantic relationships, but all kinds of relationships. So I think there's a big calling for the divine masculine and feminine to unite, and to rise together, and to support the rise of that. And it makes me feel like, I don't know, just it gives me a really good feeling, and it's exciting to think of that. And I know there's a lot of work to do in that side of things, but the conversations that are being had now, the awareness on this, you know, on just on the fact that, you know, there is even divine masculine, divine feminine, you know, a few years ago, it wasn't even on my radar. But just, there's so much being done. And going back to what I said about Netflix, weirdly, this is random, but Justin Baldoni, who is the actor in Jane the Virgin, which is one of the reasons I really love it, is because I do have a crush on him, admittedly. He is quite handsome, but also he is doing some really incredible work around men's vulnerability and mental health, and loads of people like him are doing that. And I feel like, instead of kind of fueling and changing things from a place of fear and from a place of hate or lack, we are stepping up into making decisions and changing things and evolving things from a place of love and from vulnerability. And that, in a very long nutshell, is my feelings about 2019.
I love that so much. It's so powerful.
I don't know where that came from.
Really. And so, you know, yeah, like, yeah, I resonate with that so much. It's so powerful.
Well, that kind of brings us to the end of our reflection, and I don't know what we're thinking about for 2019. So the last thing for us to do is to pull each other a card again for the year ahead, just to sort of wrap the conversation up. Yeah, it's been amazing. I've loved this. I could do this all day.
This has been so great.
We should do this every month.
I was going to say every year.
Every day.
Every day.
Sorry. How fun would it be?
Just spend all day talking about our day.
We could have our own radio show and just be like on the radio all the time.
Oh my God. Okay. All right. So I'm going to use the same deck again, because that seemed to work really well for you. And we're asking about this year, which is 2019. And I have for you the Six of Cups. I'll show you the picture even though no one else can see it. And should we take photos and put them on your for people?
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, definitely. Okay, I love it. Tell me more.
Well, sixes are great. Like, you know, all the numbers are great, but six is the number of harmony and unity. And so, like, you know, everything you were just saying about like this being a year of unity, and the fact that you got the King and the Queen of Cups as well at the start is like, you know, you're already well on this path. The Six of Cups is sort of traditionally also about connecting with your inner child and doing some work with her and making sure that she's happy and that she's doing the fun stuff that she wants to do, as well as, you know, getting the adult stuff done as well. But it feels, but it doesn't feel like that, oh, you know, you've got some healing and some work to do on this. It just sort of feels like this beautiful energy of like joy and reconnecting with her and like, you know, going out and being like, I don't know, kind of seeing you like running through the park and like just being silly and being happy and playful and all of that. So that feels really nice, like play and joy and harmony. That's all right. That sounds okay.
I'll take that. I'm totally down with that. Oh, that's amazing. Okay, I'm gonna pull a card from the Connected and Free, the Alchemist's Oracle. And yeah, we'll see what comes up. But I might also pull you a card from the Work Your Light deck as well, just as a, oh, hello. Huh, interesting. Actually, two have just leapt out for me. Wow, okay, so the first one is birth.
Ooh.
Mm. And the second, card, and this is so aligned with your word, is high flying.
Ooh.
Second card, yeah.
Hmm.
So I feel like these go so beautifully together. But I feel like, I almost feel like these are the kind of two parts of your year.
Mm-hmm.
Like the birth phase, because in the card, on the birth card, it's kind of the seed is underground and it's like growing up. And I feel like the beginning of the year is going to be really about planting those seeds and nurturing them and supporting them. And it is this kind of, it is this rebirth and changing, definitely changing ways that you're doing your business. Whether you like it or not, that's what's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I feel like that sowing that seed is what's going to lead to this card. And we'll put the photos on the show notes, but is a butterfly and it's kind of rising up and the sky in the background is like beautiful and it feels so expansive. And so I feel like the second part of your year is going to be that real like rising energy. Those cards feel really lovely to me. They feel really exciting. I don't think I need to pull one from the other deck.
Yeah, that feels pretty good.
They are such happy with that. Yay, we're gonna have awesome 2019. Oh, amazing. So do you just want to share anything that's coming up that you want to tell anybody about that's coming up for you, or are you all good?
Tell everybody what's coming up for me. I would like to take a second and just let people know that if they would like to read my book, Class of 1983, it's a young adult fiction book. It's about time travel. It's a romance. And it's had some really good reviews. People have liked it. If that's your bag, if that's your thing, I'm sure Lauren will put the link to it, but it's newagehipster.co/book. Otherwise you can just go to Amazon and type in Class of 1983 and it will come up. And that's all really. I just kind of felt like I've talked about the book a lot in this chat, but I haven't really told anybody anything about it. So yeah, if you're curious, that's how you can get it.
It's a really great book. I'm nearly finished it, as I said, and I'm kind of going to be really sad that I can't get the sequel straight away. Although maybe you could just send me your like script. But no, I
not just yet.
It's really nice because I think sometimes I know recently the last few years, like all the books I've read have been very self-development, very spiritual, very kind of worky books, where I felt like I have to do the work. And this is just pure, it's like watching Netflix, but in a book, you know, it's like pure escapism. You can get lost with the characters. You just, you know, I even actually dreamt something came up the other day in real life and I was talking to someone and I was like, oh, I really, like, this is really reminding me of a situation that's like happened recently. And then I was like, oh no, that's something I read in the book. so it's like literally playing into my life. And because I know you reading it, I do feel like I'm reading, like, I feel like you're almost telling the story with me and you're in it. So it's, yeah, I love it. I really recommend everyone to get it. Because even if you're not a young adult fiction reader normally, like, this is just great. It's just such good fun. And if you've got presents to buy people, perfect thing.
Yes.
Oh, it's been such a good conversation. I'm so, like, happy that we did it. And it's, yeah, it's really brought up a lot of things for me in a good way. And it seems like a really nice way to end the year. So, yeah, thank you for sharing.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me to do this. It was amazing.
You are very welcome. And as I said at the beginning, I'm going to do a little workbook to go alongside this, just with some of the questions and maybe a few extras that can you can just use to journal over just for fun. And you can get in touch with both of us if you want to share anything, I'm sure. And I'll put all the links to Vix in the show notes as always. But chances are you probably know her anyway. Because she's so famous now with her book. yeah, it's been an honour to share the space with you. Thank you.
You too.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Unravelling. If you have enjoyed this conversation and want to listen more, then please subscribe to the show and share it with any friends who might enjoy the journey too. To continue the adventures and connect with other people who are also enjoying the show, don't forget to join the Unraveling Deeper community on Facebook. Here you can delve deeper into some of the topics discussed on the show and also get the chance to ask questions for future episodes. I will also be sharing additional resources that are supporting me in my own unraveling. Just head to facebook.com/groups/unraveling deeper. You can also get in touch with me via my Instagram at laurenbarber.co, or through my website, www.laurenbarber.co. Until next time, keep trusting the beautifully chaotic process of unraveling.